those in junior church may be dismissed. A couple of reminders. I know you've heard some of them. I want to just remind you again of them. Tonight we have a hymn sing followed by food and fellowship. You will want to come to that. It's a great night of just singing praise to our God. And then you get, on the other hand of that, you get some great food. So that's a good night. Next Sunday, in the evening service, Joseph is going to share his story. It's been a couple years ago since he underwent a major operation. I'm not going to even tell you any more about that. You'll have to come next Sunday night. You will want to be here. In the morning, we have a baby dedication. And two, in next Sunday morning, we are going to just look at one verse, Hebrews 11:7, Noah. And I'll do some background with that. So that's what's coming up. Turn to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. We're going to look at verses 4 through 6 today. Hebrews 11, 4 through 6 is where we'll be. Today we're going to really be looking at the one thing that pleases God. Let me read the text and then I will pray and we will dive into it after that. By faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. And he was not found because God took him up, for he obtained the witness that before his being taken up he was pleasing to God. In verse 6, and without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Heavenly Father, we would ask that you would move powerfully during this moment in time. I pray that your Spirit would move, would direct, would help in our understanding, would bring conviction where it's needed, will bring confidence where it's needed as well, courage. I pray for these people that are before you now, that you would minister strongly the word into their hearts, touch them. Father, everybody comes from different backgrounds. I'm sure there have been issues in this past week, in this past year. Your hand of blessing has been on us in this these past days. For that, we give you thanks. We pray that you would meet everyone where they're at. If there's someone here today that they've yet to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior from sin, I pray that you would move in that way. Encourage the believers, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody believes in something or someone. Even those who do not believe in the God of the Bible have a doctrine that they believe in. For them, they believe this world and what we see, the universe and all that's beyond us, is void of someone. The scriptures refer to as God. Every religion in the world has a faith system of some sort. And they all believe they're right. Are they all correct, and do they all have access to God? That's a question that needs to be asked. Is there a way to have a relationship with God? Is there an approach that he would approve of? And what kind of faith pleases God? Well, the word addresses these things in this text that we will look at today. One can only have a relationship with God through faith in Christ. Without faith, it is certain that one cannot please God. Again, look at verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. The statement just jumps off the page. And God, there's clarity as to what it is that pleases God. Faith that believes is faith that trusts. Those who know him trust his word. They trust in what he has said. They trust his promises. These Old Testament saints that are before us today, we'll look at a couple of them, but this chapter abounds in them. They believed in the Word. They trusted what He said. They believed in faith in His promises, and they looked forward to the cross. We look back to the cross. They looked forward to the Deliverer, and they believed. This is heroic faith. This chapter is about these kind of people. The kind who believed no matter what the cost. Three things I want to come across or give to you today that I hope you will understand. And the first is this, that faith that pleases God believes in a blood sacrifice. Faith that pleases God believes in a proper blood sacrifice. Abel offered something better. Look at verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was a righteous, that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, that through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, and I want you to go back there, because what's recorded here is in Genesis 4, verses 3 through 5. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, everything changed for them. They now were sinners who would one day physically die. God put Adam and Eve out of the garden because of their sin, their disobedience. Their fellowship with God was broken, and they forfeited the right to be in His presence because of their disobedience. But even when they were being put out of the garden, God's grace was being offered as a way back to fellowship. Even it was at that point that God promised something to them. I want you to turn to Genesis the third chapter, because I want you to see the grace of God for a moment. Now, Cain and Abel are offspring of Adam and Eve. And we're looking at Abel, but to get, I think, the full extent of what God wants to communicate, we need to understand a little bit of the background. So Adam and Eve sinned. That sin brought about judgment. And God begins to speak to that. But just as sure as His judgment comes, so does His grace begin to flow. And there's a promise of the Redeemer, the promise of the Deliverer. It's in Genesis 3:15. It says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. And that's a direct reference to the coming of the seed. There's Messiah, that He's coming, that God would provide a Deliverer. Well, if you remember the story and what happened there, Adam and Eve, they'd sinned and they became ashamed, and they clothed themselves with garments of fig leaves. But God's grace, you'll notice in that third chapter, it's flowing so much in the promise. And then the provision in verse 21, the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. His grace flowed. God's grace was offered as a way back to fellowship. He made a promise, and then He made garments for Adam and Eve that He might clothe them. And this implies blood being shed. Don't miss that. These are skins from animals, and they had to be killed. Their lives had to be taken, and there was blood that was shed. We do not have record of how it is, though, that Cain and Abel, in the fourth chapter there, they come to worship God. And we're not sure how much instruction they had, but they had enough to know that they needed to worship. And perhaps it was that Adam and Eve shared about their situation and what God had done and the way to approach God. We're not sure. Or God gave them direct revelation. I'm not positive. But in that fourth chapter, you have Cain and Abel, and they approach God. And here's what it says about them. Verse 3, Genesis 4, 3. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel on his part also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering. But for Cain and for his offering, He had no regard. So Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. So they made an offering. God had, He accepted, if you would, Abel's offering, but He had no regard for Cain's offering. So there must have been some instruction. They came both before the Lord. They made an offering. One was accepted. One was denied. R. Kent Hughes said this, that both understood the substitutionary atoning nature of the blood sacrifice, because when God provided the skins to clothe their parents, He established the principle of covering sin through the shedding of blood. We can certainly conclude this, that these men knew what God desired, what God had prescribed. And we see what happened there. One brought the sacrifice of animals. One brought the sacrifice of the ground. Abel, in this, obtained righteousness. Abel was a righteous man, not because of anything he did. What he did was because he believed in God. He was righteous because of what he believed, and this affected his actions. His faith was such that he believed that to approach God, he must come on God's terms. You know, that mankind today has this battle within his heart. And he's saying, for the most part, I will approach God on my own terms, in my own way. And God says, listen, there's one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that is his son, Acts 4:12. We don't get to call the terms out. We don't get to set those terms. We don't get to say how it is that we're going to approach God. God has put forth the terms as to how we approach him. Cain may have been thinking, look, I have something for God here. I'll tell you what, I've got, this is the nicest corn crop I've ever had. And look at the size of these carrots and these potatoes, there isn't a scab on any of them. And the squash, outstanding. I'm going to approach God and give him my best. And he sidestepped what God had declared. And I want you to know that God had no regard for that sacrifice. Every system in the world, every religious system in the world has a way in which you can be right with God. But they will all fail if they have sidestepped the blood of the cross. They will find out, angry sinners will find out, I believe, on their way to hell, that God had no regard for them. They've sidestepped. They've tried to go around what God has provided, the ultimate sacrifice in his son, Jesus Christ. God loves them. He loves us. He's made a way to escape the penalty of sin. Notice well there, and I'm going to ask you to turn back to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. I want you to notice well this verse about Abel. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous. God imputed that on him through faith. God testifying about his gifts that through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. And I want you to note that Abel's life still speaks. Abel's sacrifice was made in faith. He trusted in the revelation that God had given him concerning what it was that pleased God. He simply believed God. He escaped the wages of sin by trusting God. What is Abel's sermon? What is it? It's this. Righteousness is through faith alone. His life still speaks. And that's what it speaks to. Righteousness is through faith alone. You can bring your best to God. But it's not enough. That's why he sent his son. We either come in faith by the blood of sacrifice like Abel did, or we come offering our own thing like Cain did. And if we offer the best that we have and we do it in a way that God has not prescribed, he will reject it. One man has said this about Abel's life. Because he obtained righteousness, he is for all the ages a living voice saying righteousness is by faith. Secondly, I want you to note in this text that faith that pleases God believes in a worthy walk. Notice verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him up, for he obtained this witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. Remember, we began last week in this first section of Hebrews 11, but one of the things we noted was in verse 3, by faith we understand the worlds were prepared by the Word of God. Well, where do we find that? Genesis 1. And throughout much of this text, I believe up through verse 22, we're looking at individuals from the book of Genesis. I just gave you one of those, several of those, Adam and Eve, but Cain and Abel as well. And Enoch, he's in chapter 5 there. So what I'm saying is this is just foundational. It's going back. It's looking back. It's seeing where the Word of God and what he said. But we look at another Old Testament saint here, Enoch. and he was taken up. And his life is all about a walk that pleases God. He came from the line of Seth. Adam and Eve had a son after the death of Abel. You'll know that Cain went out. His anger took him to the point where we have the first family on earth where Cain slew his own brother, took his life. And then we move from there, and God gives Adam and Eve another son, Seth, and out of that lineage comes Enoch. Enoch is mentioned in chapter 5 of Genesis, verses 19 and 24. It traces it through. But Enoch walked with God. It was at Enoch's point where he was born a son, Methuselah, that Enoch, it mentions in Scripture, that Enoch began to walk with God. I want to just say, I've seen this through the years. Many times with parents, that when God offers them and gives them a child, and they hold that child, and they've experienced that walk of conception and that child growing in the womb and in delivery. And I've often noted that God touches individuals greatly at that time. It's to me, it's almost like a holy moment. I had the privilege to be there at the birth of all of our children. And it seemed to me that God was there in a special way. It always touched me. But I know in Enoch's life, it mentions that at that point he began to walk with God. And Enoch was raptured. I'm going to have you turn back to Genesis 5. It mentions here as well in Hebrews 11. I want you to see it back in Genesis, the fifth chapter there. Enoch lived, verse 21, Enoch lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. The writer in Hebrews, he notes this, and he has something to say about it. He was taken up. He was raptured. The phrase that occurs over and over and again in Genesis, the fifth chapter. It's kind of a downer of a chapter. But you'll notice again, this individual, he died, he died, he died. It begins with Adam, Seth, Enosh, Canaan, Mahalalel, Jared. Death hunted those guys down. And they couldn't escape it. Then we have this. Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Many look at that instance and are reminded of the promise to those believers who will be living when Christ comes. They will be taken up. They will not taste death. Enoch was pleasing to God. This is God's testimony concerning this man. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. And it mentions in the last part of verse 5 that he was pleasing to God. This is God's testimony concerning this man. He pleased God. He walked in such a way that he honored God. And part of his walk before God was proclaiming the word of God. In Jude 14 and 15, it talks about him proclaiming the word. He believed God. He did the word of God, and he proclaimed the word of God. That was his testimony. That's what it was. He walked with God. By the way, we're called to a worthy walk, right? As believers? That's what God calls us to. Here's an individual that walked in such a way that God really took notice. I want you to know he sees you and I, right? Ephesians 4:1 talks about walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. That's the call for every believer. And he knows what we're up to. He knows what we're thinking. He knows what we're doing. And we have every reason, because of his great love for us and his mercy and grace, to live for him. But Enoch was pleasing to God. That's God's testimony. If I were to ask you, what is God's testimony concerning you today? What would you say? Are you dealing with sin as you ought to? Are you walking? Is your desire to please the Lord? Are you really making a difference in the area of influence that you have? That's God's desire. Listen, he didn't save us to put us on a bench and watch the world go by. He didn't do that. It's about people. It's about God who loves people. And we're called to serve and make a difference in their lives. I wonder what his testimony would be concerning you. Because, friend, I want to encourage you in that. Because it does make a difference today and for all of eternity. I read a cute little story, and I want to share it with you. There's a story told of a little girl who went to church, and she heard the truth about Enoch taught. And she went home and told her mother that she heard a wonderful story that day about a man whose name was Enoch. He took long walks with God, she said. And it was for a long time. Finally, one day, God decided he'd walk so far for so long that he might just as well come on home with God. And that's how she explained that story. Truth is, one day we'll all go home, won't we? And if you know Christ, we will go home with God. I hope your walk is what it needs to be and your desires to please him. But it's a call upon every believer's life to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. Finally, I want you to know that from this text, there's one other thing I see that I want you to know. Not only is faith that pleases God faith that believes in a blood sacrifice, not only is faith that believes in God sold out to a worthy walk, but also faith that pleases God believes God. Look at verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Faith that pleases God believes God. We trust him. We believe his word. We believe in justification by faith alone. We'll get into that deeper into this chapter. We don't have to go very far when we see Abraham. And it's said of Abraham in Genesis 15 that he believed in God and God imputed or credited it to him as righteousness. I believe it's verse 6. Also, Romans 4, we'll talk about that later as well. He's included there. You'll see an individual who believed in God, and God looked at him and imputed or placed on him righteousness. But we believe, faith that pleases God believes God. We believe in justification by faith alone. Did you remember there when it speaks of Abel's life, that he obtained the testimony that he was righteous? How did he do that? He did that by faith. He simply believed in God. Hardest thing I want to say is one of the hardest hurdles to get over. I have to tell you that it was this week that I met an individual I'd never met before in my life. And I had occasion to speak with him about his spiritual life. And in the conversation, I said, I've got a question for you, and I want to know what you think. And this is a question I ask him. How do you believe a person can be right with God? And he thought of something. He said, you know, I've never thought about that. That's a great question. And then, as he thought about it, he said, well, I want you to know something. I grew up in this religious system, and I've been a pretty good person all my life. And I've never, and I've always, and there he went through a list. You know what he was saying? He believes that justification is by works alone. He needs Christ. I was able to share a gospel booklet with him at that point. But we believe that justification is, as the Bible says, through faith alone. It's not what you've done. It's not according to works. Faith that pleases God believes that. Faith that pleases God believes that one must live by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Let's not forget, not only do we come to Christ by faith, we approach God through faith in Christ. Not only that, but you know what? Today, I'm living by faith. I told Pastor Wes earlier, you know what I believe? I believe God's going to do some great things today in our service, in our people. I believe that. What's that? That's faith. That's trusting God. Can I see that? No, I can't see what's before. I don't see that, but I see some. I know God. I know his word. I know his spirit's at work. I can trust him. But we live by faith. We're looking to Jesus. We're trusting him for our daily bread. We live by faith. We trust him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And then look, verse 6. He who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. We believe that God exists. We believe that God exists. I may have mentioned this often if I'm at a funeral now. Guess where I start? I no longer start with Jesus Christ and you're a sinner. I start with God Because we've dismissed in this society that there is a God and we're accountable. And I'll just share with folks, listen, I understand where we're at. Everyone wants to dismiss that God exists, but He made you. Your very life your very life exists because of the next breath He's giving you. You're in His hands and you're accountable. And then we go to the sin issue. Then we go to Christ. But we believe He exists. So did these folks. That's what they believe. You know, we can rub shoulders with these guys, these women. Isn't that beautiful? And we will one day. We'll get to meet Enoch and Abel and Abraham and Sarah. Amazing thing. And in the meantime, God says to you and I, walk by faith, trust, believe me. We believe He exists. We can't explain life or all that is around us without believing like these before us in Him. Finally, you know what we believe? We believe there's a day coming when He's going to reward us. Look at verse 6 again. The last part. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. He who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those who seek Him. That's an amazing thing. If there's someone here without Christ today, you know, you could come to faith, and you know what you would immediately have? You'd immediately belong to the family of God. God's Spirit would take up residence in your heart. He would forgive you. He would clothe you with a righteousness that only comes through faith. It's the righteousness of Christ. Now, you would have the assurance of heaven. You would also have the assurance that God is at work in me and through me, and He will carry me along. There's so much, a reward that would come today. But for those who have walked with Him, oh, what reward do we have? We look forward to meeting our Lord. And for Him, hopefully, to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Hebrews 6:10 states, God is not unjust. Look back there with me. We talked about this not so long ago. God is not unjust. And I was trying to really encourage you guys to be faithful to God because He knows He's keeping track. God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward His name and having ministered and still ministering to the saints. He's keeping track, folks. He wants to reward you. We believe in a God who rewards His children. I want to just finish this sermon by asking this. What are you believing today? And why do you believe what you believe today? That's the question. Is your faith in the God of the Bible, is your faith in Christ alone? Is He Savior? Is He Lord? Is He the one way? Or is He just someone that I'm kind of adding to what I believe? He calls you to complete faith and trust in Him today. And that is that whatever you're believing as far as concerning how can a person be right with God, if it's anything other than Christ, you transfer that faith to Him alone. You'll be saved. That's what the Bible says. And let me ask you, you who know Him, does the faith that you have in God suggest that you trust Him no matter the consequences? Does your walk reflect a lifestyle that's worthy of being a child of the King? Are you like Abel here in this chapter? You know, I wonder often what was the conversation for he and Cain as they approached to worship the Lord? What was that like before and after? Was Abel just standing firm and saying, you know what, this is how God said to come. I'm offering a blood sacrifice. That's Cain. That's not what God called for. Did he stand up? I'm not sure. But you know what? We're called to stand, right? We're called to stand firm. Walk by faith. Does your walk reflect a lifestyle that's worthy of the King? Does the faith in God suggest that you'll trust Him no matter the consequences? Do your friends know that you know Jesus Christ? Do your neighbors know that? Are you willing to stand firm when society and others are saying, go this way? Are you willing to say, no, you know, I serve the living God. I believe the God of the Bible. I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to walk with Him. Let's pray. Loving Father, thank you for these examples. Two examples that we have here today of men that walked by faith and not by sight. Thank you for two examples who believed in you, who believed your word, who believed the book of Genesis. I pray, Father, that you will minister this word to us. I pray that you'll do that in a special way. I pray that we can come to the point where we just have a complete, and growing and complete trust in you and your word. Father, I pray for the walk of each one of these people before you. As they step out into the world that's very different than you've prescribed for us to live, that you will give them boldness, assurance. You'll find all of us saying we will walk by faith, we'll trust you, and our walk is going to reflect a deep reverence for our God. I pray that would be the case. Father, there may be some here today that have yet to come to faith in Christ. I pray you move them that way as well. In Jesus' name, amen.